Take your Bibles. Please turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. 1 Samuel, chapter 1. We'll read verses 5 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Samuel 1, verses 5 through 10. First Samuel 1, verses 5 through 10. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a new seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, thank you this morning in the music. We were reminded about you and what you've done for us. Thank you for our visitors that are here. But most of all, thank you that your presence is here. Lord, I'm glad we have a church that's not just a place to go put our time into and be done. It's a place where you meet with us. Now calm our hearts. May we focus our minds on the reading of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God so that we could become more like you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
If you came to church today to be helped, I think that I will help you. You'll have to give your attention to the sermon. So often I ask that we pay attention, young people. There's a variety of reasons why I want you to behave during the sermon. First of all, because you need it. But secondly, because your disruption disrupts me, and it keeps me from concentrating like I need to get the message across to the people. And then thirdly, somebody around you needs this, and it would not be right for you to hinder them from getting the truth. So again, I come to you, and especially the young people, and ask that they behave themselves and let God do His work, and they not try to be a hindrance in their attitude and their behavior. I'll read again to you 1 Samuel 1:10, where it says, And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. This is spoken of Hannah. Hannah, the Bible tells us, was at this point barren, meaning she was unable to bear a child. Now, you might understand that better if you were a woman of childbearing age and could not have children. There's an emptiness there that many others would not quite understand. We find Hannah before the Lord, and she is weeping about this whole issue. And it says she was in bitterness of soul. That's the title of my sermon this morning, Bitterness of Soul. I believe Hannah had allowed herself to become a bit bitter due to the delay of having a child that she so desperately wanted to have. So you all understand something. Bitterness is a choice that you make. She chose that attitude toward her dilemma. You say, this bitterness came upon me and I have no control over it. Why, sure you have control over your attitude. We all have control with God's help over our attitude. This desired child to her would make her happy. And the delay and disappointment of a child coming, she's allowing that disappointment to steal her happiness. She has, and to a certain degree, she's allowed herself to become self-centered, and it's developed to the point that she's now saying, I'm bitter about it. I didn't get something I wanted. I made the choice. I let it bother me so much that I find myself bitter of soul. Now, she eventually had that baby that she wanted. His name was Samuel. I wonder how many times, folks, you and I end up bitter about something that we wanted. The problem was not that God was not going to give it to us. The problem was God wanted to see if you trusted Him enough to have a good attitude while He was waiting to get you to it. When disappointments come to us, and they will, we stand the chance of becoming bitter just like anybody else. Could I ask you a question? What disappointment has ruined your attitude lately? What disappointment has tampered with your spirit? Now, let me say this. For the devil, your disappointment was probably not his goal. His goal was making you bitter. You say, thus and so happened to me, therefore I'm bitter. The thus and so was probably not the issue. It was him getting your spirit that was the issue. The disappointment was merely the tool that he used to get your attitude and to get your spirit. You thought it was all about the disappointment, and it wasn't. It was all about your attitude and all about your spirit. There are many stories in the Bible about Christians who allowed bitterness into their lives. According to the Bible, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, bitterness is a sin. And it's wrong. It says, let all bitterness be done away. It also teaches that bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, let me tell you something. Bitter people when the preaching of the Word of God comes, it's like water off a duck's back. Bitterness repels the Word of God. The Bible says that bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit's trying to work on somebody that's bitter, that working kind of just bounces off of them. Everything under the sun causes, it's just a repellent. You can't get the Word of God to them. Bitterness is damaging to you. Bitterness is damaging to those around you. Bitterness is an attitude poison. Bitterness is like a contagious disease. It's like the poison ivy of the human spirit. Bitterness is to your attitude what termites are to wood. Bitterness is an attitude of sin. And then we turn around and we fight to justify it. Well, I'm bitter because. What you're saying is, I'm sinning because. We fight to justify our bitter attitude, first of all, to ourselves, maybe to God and to others, even to the point where I've watched bitter people want to justify and portray their bitterness as a strength. I'm bitter and proud, and I've got ample reason why. How in the world could we be proud of something God said was sin? Bitterness is attitude suicide. I've stood and preached and been heard to preach by millions. There's no doubt in my mind about that now. I can stand in this place. I can scan the people and look at the faces. And you see when bitterness is creeping into the life. You see it. The sermon is called Bitterness of Soul. Let me tell you what could cause this thing called bitterness, this attitude suicide, this poison ivy of the spirit, this termite of the attitude. What causes bitterness? Well, first of all, may I say to you, leaving the will of God will cause you to become bitter. Ruth chapter 1, verse number 20, there's a verse that says this, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Here's the story. It's a story of a gal by the name of Naomi and her family. She lived in a city called Bethlehem, Judah. So you know the definition of that city's name, Bethlehem, Judah, is the house of bread. A famine came to this place called Bethlehem, Judah. So a famine came to the place called the house of bread. Naomi and her husband and her two sons, they leave the house of bread and they go down into Egypt. So, you know, Egypt in the Bible was always a bad place to go to. She left the house of bread during famine and went down into Egypt. Now, folks, does it make sense to leave the house of bread when you're hungry? They plan to go down into Egypt and they plan to stay a short time. Husband, wife, couple of boys. Well, as usual, anytime you start getting backslidden and you leave the right things, you didn't plan to stay gone long, and you end up being gone longer than what you planned to go. Sin will take you deeper than you plan to go, keep you longer than you plan to stay, and cost you more than you plan to pay. Her sons end up marrying heathen women. You better be careful getting out of God's will, your children out of God's will. You'll take them somewhere, well, they'll end up marrying the heathen. Her sons married heathen women. While they're in this place called Egypt, which they shouldn't have been in the first place, her sons both die. Then her husband dies there. She realizes now she's lost her sons, she's lost her husband. She was in the right place in the first place. She was in Bethlehem, Judea. She was in the place where she was supposed to be, the house of bread. She started taking steps away. She got her and her family out of the will of God. And I you say, well, what about her husband? Did he have anything to do with the leadership here? I'm sure he did. But let me tell you something. I see more women virtually leading things in families today than I do men. I can watch a woman grab an ear of a man today and lead him right out of the right kind of a church and right out of the right kind of a situation. I don't know why that is. My wife grabs my ear. She can just go ahead and pull it off. I'll do what I think is right with or without an ear. But they go down into this, they get out of the will of God and they go down into Egypt, and she loses her husband and she loses her son and then she loses another son. And finally she comes to her senses and she says, I need to go back to the place where the blessing was in the first place. When she got home, people looked at her and they actually asked the question, is this Naomi? And she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. I want a new name. Why? The name Mara means bitter. Naomi means sweet. She said, when I was in the will of God, I was sweet. I left the will of God and I'm now bitter. Now, I'll promise you something. You'll get bitter if you leave the will of God. Lost people are better not in the will of God than saved people. Lost people will find themselves happier out in the world away from the things of God than saved people will. Saved people don't belong out there. Folks, no matter what your reason for leaving God's will, it could very possibly cause bitterness to enter your life, your husband's life, your wife's life, your children's life, the life of your family. Don't you let yourself become bitter, because it is a choice. You say, well, what about this or what about that? Let me explain to you. Usually it is not the disappointment that the devil is after. The devil is after your spirit. The devil is after your attitude. All the things that come to you and I that disappoint us, the devil is not after the issue. The devil is after your heart. The devil is after your attitude. The devil is after your spirit. Has your attitude left God's will? At one time you were positive and patient, now you're bitter and negative. Is your attitude in God's will? Now wait a minute. I didn't ask if your body is. Is your attitude in God's will? You see, here's what I've learned. The attitude leaves the will of God long before the body leaves the will of God. And I say to you today, there are many causes of this thing called bitterness. We see here in Ruth 1:20 that Naomi ended up being bitter. And what happened? She and her family left the will of God. They were where they needed to be. And things were a little rough there. There was a famine there. But God was still there. And they walked away. She lost her husband to death, her first son to death, her second son to death. Then she lost her attitude and spirit. And it's a miracle that she came to her senses and said, I'm going back to the place of blessing. But not only will leaving the will of God cause you bitterness, I believe bitterness comes from jealousy. Bitterness can be caused by envy and jealousy. James chapter 3 verse 14 and 15 says this, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Notice those words there. Bitter envying. You notice that envy, jealousy, those things are attached to this thing called bitterness. Hey, are you bitter because you feel others have it better than you? Here it talks about envy or jealousy. Does somebody sit under the sound of my voice today and somebody has something you don't have and somebody may have it a little better than you, and rather than you being happy that they have something nice, you're mad and you're virtually bitter with them because they have something. Bitterness can be caused by envy. Bitterness can be caused by jealousy. Did someone get something that you want? Does somebody have it a little better than you, and therefore, rather than being glad for them, you're sad for you and an enemy to them now? Did someone get a promotion that you wanted? I believe there's somebody here today, you're miserable at work. I'll tell you why. Somebody got something that you wanted at work, and you now hate your boss, and you hate people at work, and you hate your job, and it was a choice that you made. Other people in the place, they did all right with the promotion. They didn't allow it to become bitterness. And they'll probably be employed a year from now. But you may not. Because you'll destroy yourself with your bitterness as a result of your jealousy. Get this. God compares this jealous bitterness, He compares it with the devil. Listen, it says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Wow. Earthly, sensual, and devilish. That is a pretty powerful description. That's a pretty powerful definition. When God looks at bitterness that is the result of our jealousy, or bitterness that is the result of our envy, He said, that is devilish. He said, that is sensual. He said, that is earthly. It's carnal. Has your jealousy turned into bitterness in your marriage? Has your jealousy turned into bitterness at work? Has your jealousy turned into bitterness in your ministry? Has your jealousy turned into bitterness in the bus ministry? Has your jealousy turned into bitterness in your Sunday school class? Has your jealousy turned into bitterness right here in your own church? Folks, let me tell you something. From all the observation of the human race, I have noticed that jealous people sooner or later become bitter people. You stay jealous long enough, you'll get bitter. Bitterness comes from jealousy. Bitterness comes when we get out of the will of God. But there's another cause of bitterness. Bitterness is caused by being with the wrong crowd. Bitterness is caused by those that would influence us. The wrong crowd. Let me read to you from Job chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Job says, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou condemnest with me. Now, here, Job says he has bitterness of his soul. He's admitting to it. It's said of Job. But let me explain something to you. This story about Job, this attitude develops after his friends got a hold of him. See, Job was doing fine before his friends took hold of his attitude. Understand, Job had lost his children to death. Job had lost his health. Job had lost the loyalty of his wife. Job had lost his businesses. Job had lost his dignity to a certain degree. All of that Job went through. And his reaction, up to this point, Job's reaction was fantastic. In Job 1:22, Job said this, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job had been through a lot, but he didn't sin. He didn't charge God foolishly. The Bible says in Job 2:10, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And in all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job said, I'm not going to charge God. I'm not going to sin against God. I'm going to keep a right attitude. Then in Job 1:21 it says, Job said this, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, look at this good attitude that Job has. Job's children have died. He's got a good attitude. Job's businesses were done away with. He lost all of his money. Job had a good attitude. Job's health is now gone. Job had a good attitude. Job's reputation to a degree is gone. Job had a good attitude. Job's wife had turned on him. Job had a good attitude. And along came his so-called friends. And if you know the story, Job's friends poisoned his attitude. Then Job ends up saying what I read to you a moment ago from Job 10 verse 1 and 2. In bitterness of my soul, I now speak to God. Have your so-called friends tempted you to become bitter? I have to tell you something. Even in the ministry, I get around men of God. There are some that I must protect my spirit and must protect my attitude around them. I've got to protect my spirit. I don't want to become bitter. I don't want to be put on the shelf. I don't want to be a has-been as a pastor and a has-been as a man of God. I don't want that. So what do I have to do? I've got to be very cautious. Why? Well, I have the potential of becoming bitter just like you have the potential of becoming bitter. You get around the wrong kind of people. Hey, most people in here would do fine with your burdens if the wrong kind of people didn't get around you. Have your so-called friends tempted you to become bitter? I've watched good teenagers in this church turn bitter because of friends. I've watched husbands turn bitter because of wives and wives turn bitter because of husbands. I watch women in this church allowing their poor friendships to turn them bitter. If you don't make friends well, the result of it is you lower your standard about what kind of friends you will have, and you'll let people tamper with your spirit. Look, folks, even backslidden leaders can be friends who hurt and influence our attitude to become bitter. Wrong is wrong, no matter what level of leadership you're at. And I say to you, you better be careful. Bitterness will creep in. And I remind you, it's not usually the issue that pricks your heart or life. It is not the issue the devil is trying to hurt you with. It is that he wants to take your spirit. He wants to take your attitude. And the issue or the disappointment that comes up, it's merely the bait. It's the trap, because he wants you to walk away from that issue, that disappointment, that hit that you took. He wants to walk away with your attitude. He wants to walk away with your spirit. He wants you down, and he wants you bitter. There are all sorts of people in here. You walk right into the trap. He knew exactly what it would take for him to grab a hold of your attitude, grab a hold of your spirit. He brought it into your life. You took the hit. The issue was not the hit. The issue was the attitude that followed the hit. Bitterness is caused because we've left the will of God. Bitterness is caused because of jealousy. Bitterness is caused because we get around the wrong crowd and they begin to tamper with our attitude and they tamper with our spirit. But not only that, bitterness can be caused when God chastens us. When God chastens us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6, the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Here the Bible's teaching us that word chasten in modern day vernacular, if you will, means God spanks those kids that are his kids. And I always stop here for a moment and say, look, if you're a born again Christian, you ought to thank God. God spanks you when you do wrong. His chastening is a sign of your salvation. The Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Hebrews 12:6. 9 verses later, God now has spoken of the chastening of the Lord upon his children. 9 verses later, same chapter, in Hebrews 12 verse 15, it says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." What's he talking about? Just a few verses earlier, he said, God may come along and God may have to spank you. God may come along and God may chasten you because God loves you. Folks, when you spank your children, you're not supposed to spank your children because you hate them. When you spank your children, you spank them because you love them. And God spanks his children because God loves his children. God spanks his children because he cares about his children. And here he said, there may come a day when I need to spank you. And he said, but be careful because many people, when they get spankings, get bitter. They get bitter. God warns us not to allow his chastening to create a bitterness inside of us. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now let me explain. God is telling us here, if we sow to the flesh, we will reap to the flesh. So you know, Christian, if you do wrong, there is a chance that God may spank you for doing so. And so I thought God loved me. God does love you. God does love you. He chastens us because he wants to warn us. He wants to teach us. He wants us not to make the same mistake again. God's trying to keep us from hurting ourselves. But if we get bitter, when he spanks, I see an injustice toward God. People get bitter because they reap the result of their own sinful deed. I mean, let's face it. I've watched children be disciplined by their parents and the child turn around and hate the parent. If we as a human race would treat each other that way, don't you think there is the potential that we might even try to treat God that way? God, our Heavenly Father, comes along and he spanks us. And if you're not careful, you'll turn back to God and despise God because he merely did what he promised he would do anyway, which is to chastise. Kids get bitter with parents because they are appropriately punished for their wrong. Hey, employees get mad at employers because of correction. I don't go very many months that I don't hear a story of somebody that they got in trouble at work. They showed up late and showed up late and showed up late and showed up late or didn't do their job or didn't do their job or didn't do their job. And a boss had to come along and say, you know, I've just about had it. Going to lay you off, going to fire you, you're going to get disciplined, and you got some employee throwing themselves around. Who do they think they are? What right do they have? Well, they have the right because they're the boss, and when you do wrong, you're supposed to be disciplined for it. In this life, nobody wants to suffer the consequences of their actions. I'm telling you, I find it hard to find anybody that'll say, I did it, I was guilty. Always, well, it was you, it was him, it was her, I wouldn't have if it were not for them. What happened to you being guilty? Are you ever? There's always someone that must, you gotta bounce the responsibility off of. What's wrong with us in America? But I'll tell you this. An employer can discipline an employee. And they get bitter. Running around the office or the shop, bad-mouthing the employer. But Bob used to, when an employee wanted to turn in their two-week notice, most bosses would say, sure, I'll take your two-week notice. You can just keep on working for me for the 2 weeks before you go. You know what they do today? In most cases, if you turn in a two-week notice because you're quitting, they'll tell you to get your toolbox and go right now. You say, why? Because people are so vengeful and hateful, instead of spending 2 weeks working hard for the place that's been giving them a paycheck for years, they're liable to go into the bathrooms and tear the paper towel dispenser off the wall, sow discord among everybody there, try to cut down the boss, steal things and everything else. What's happened to the character and the integrity of the people in our country? They get bitter, see. They get bitter. Why? Because of discipline. God said it happens with children toward their parents. It happens with employees toward their employer. I'll tell you this. It happens with congregation toward a pastor. Pastor steps up and says, you may not do this. If you behave a certain way, you're jeopardizing a position or you're jeopardizing something in the church. And somebody goes out and they do what they were not to do anyway. The pastor steps in and says, now you remember, you promised a certain kind of behavior. You're not behaving that way. Therefore, you have to step away from your responsibility. And the person in the congregation walks away. I'm mad at you. That's not right. It was right back when you agreed to behave. Bitterness. Bitterness. Students get mad at teachers. They get bitter. People get bitter with police officers for writing them a ticket for speeding. Christians get bitter with God because God spanks them for their wrong. You don't fight, you don't tithe faithfully, so God doesn't bless you financially. You're bitter with Him and you don't need God anymore. I'm mad at Him. Why would you want to be mad at God when you're the one that messed up your own finances? You're unfaithful to church, and so your life is full of confusion. So you're bitter with God because you feel like there's a lack of guidance and clarity. You know where you get the guidance and clarity? By being in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and in Sunday school, and doing what you're supposed to do. That's why God had church. It's not a social gathering. We come, we get instruction, we get wisdom, we get insight, we get the Holy Spirit speaking to us. So somebody does not come to church faithfully, they've got their life screwed up. They say, oh, I just can't get any guidance from God. Well, come to school! Well, I'm mad at God. I'm mad at the preacher. I'm mad at the church. Well, go ahead and get mad. But if you would have come to church last week, you would have learned what you need to learn to limit the chaos in your life. Why get mad at the pastor for it? Why get mad at God for it? But we get bitter. And God said, He said that when we have a hard time with chastening, we find ourselves bitter. Those of you that don't take discipline very well, those of you that can't take correction very well, you better be careful. You are a prime candidate for bitterness. Bitterness. What causes this thing called bitterness? Well, getting out of the will of God will cause it. Envy and jealousy will cause it. Bitterness is caused by the wrong crowd. Bitterness is caused when we don't properly handle the chastening that comes into our life. I think bitterness is caused sometimes by physical suffering. Physical suffering. Isaiah chapter 38, verse number 15. The Bible says, what shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all of my years in the bitterness of my soul. Hezekiah was sick unto death in this passage. He speaks the words of verse number 15. And I say to you, you want to be careful. Here's someone that is sick unto death, and it is obvious that there is the potential of bitterness here. That's what he's talking about. I want to recommend to you that you not become bitter when you're not well. You're physically not well. Emotionally drained people have weak spirits, and it could result in a bitterness if they're not careful. I say this from time to time, and I want to say it again right now. Just because your body is sick does not mean your attitude has to be. Do you suffer from bitter pain and spirit? Are you bitter with God because you're sick? Did you know that your bad back does not have to produce bad relationships? And there are always bad relationships around bitter people. Always. Always. You know, two people with the very same illness, very same pain. One can be pleasant, the other can be nasty. It's a choice the individual makes. Everybody. Same pain level, same disease, same heartache, same discomfort. You have one person that's got a victorious spirit, good attitude. You got somebody else that's impossible to get along with, unpredictable in attitude, unpredictable in spirit, hateful, vengeful, and complain and gripe. Same pain, two different people. It's a choice. You have to choose what you want to do. With the help of God, you can be victorious and have the right attitude. You don't have to become bitter. I got to thinking about this sermon. You'll enjoy this. It'll take us a moment to get there. But listen, it's worth the ride. After 17 years of marriage, a man dumped his wife for a younger woman. Their downtown luxury apartment was in his name, and he wanted to remain there with his new love. So he asked the wife to move out and told her that he would buy her another place. The wife agreed to this, but asked that she be given 3 days on her own there to pack up her things. While he was gone the first day, she lovingly put her belongings into boxes and crates and suitcases. On the second day, she had the movers come and collect her things. On the third day, she sat down for the last time at their candle-lit dinner table, playing soft music by herself. It was playing in the background as she feasted on a pound of shrimp. When she had finished, she went into each room and deposited a few of the leftover shrimp into the hollow shaft of the curtain rods. She then cleaned up her kitchen and left. The husband came back with his new girlfriend, and all was bliss for the first few days. Then it started slowly but surely. Clueless, the man could not explain why the place stank so bad. They tried everything. They cleaned and mopped, and they aired the place out. Vents were checked for dead rodents. Carpet was changed. Air freshener. The furniture was steam cleaned. Exterminators were brought in. It went on and on. Finally, the man gave up and decided he would move his new bride away. The moving company arrived and did a very professional packing job, taking everything to their new home, including the curtain rods. The man, spiteful and vengeful, then gave the old house to his first wife. You know, it is amazing the behavior of bitter people. Amazing. Once you get bitter, you'll find yourself behaving in ways that months and years prior you would have never behaved. Thought it was disgusting and disappointing that anybody would behave that way as a Christian. Bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness is caused when we get out of the will of God. Bitterness is caused because of our envy and our jealousy. Bitterness comes when we get around the wrong crowd and let them influence us. Bitterness is caused when we don't handle the chastening in life well. Bitterness is caused sometimes because of our physical pain. I think bitterness sometimes comes when what Jeremiah calls we face the dark places of life. Listen to this. I was very intrigued when I found this passage of scripture. The prophet Jeremiah says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 6, he says, "He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old." If you know anything about the story of this man named Jeremiah, he was in a dungeon for a while. They'd put him in a dungeon and it was dark and he was there all by himself. Now, he talks about these dark places in Lamentations 3, 6. In verse number 15 of the very same chapter, he says this, "He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood." Here, this man said, I'm in one of the dark places of life. And as a result of this dark place of life, bitterness, I see its potential. I see the bitterness and the possibility of bitterness creeping into my life. Hey, folks, sometimes I think when we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, we may find ourselves bitter. I think long-term struggle could tempt us to be bitter. You ever face it and hope that the answer's on the way, and then you face it and hope the answer's on the way, and you face it, and you're doing a pretty good job. You're holding your chin up. You're being pretty consistent. You got a pretty good attitude. You're taking the beating, and you face it and hope the answer's on the way, and face it and hope the answer's on the way, and face it and hope the answer's on the way. And if you're not careful, before long, the devil will wear you down for where you go from a positive attitude to a raunchy attitude. And for a long time, you knew the right way to act, and you were in a dark place of life where you wondered, when will I see the light at the end of the tunnel? Well, let me tell you all something. You just hang in there till you see the light at the end of the tunnel. Don't let the devil wear you out. Don't let him cause you to get bitter in your life. And again, it's usually not the issue. It is the attitude that the issue brings on. Long-term struggles could be the dark places of life. Is it taking a long time for you to regain your health? You had a real good attitude. Remember back when you first got sick? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Now you've been sick for 2 years. You're saying, I think I'll curse God and die. What happened? Maybe you're at a place of darkness where it seems like the light is not coming to you as quickly as what you wanted it to. Is it taking a long time to rebuild your finances? You remember back when the financial dilemma first hit. Oh, God will take care of me. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And you're thinking about going out and getting one, killing it, and having steak for dinner today. And say, God, I got one of your cows. What's happened? What happened to your attitude? You're at a dark place in life, and the devil works on you, and works on you, and works on you, and works on you, and works on you. And if you're not careful, you'll end up bitter. I don't think greatness is achieved by facing a burden for a moment and getting through it. I think greatness is achieved when no matter what comes your way, you face it with a good attitude and you keep on going. You can find people that can face it for a moment anywhere. You show me somebody that can face it week after week and month after month. You want to be a long-term Christian? Suck it up and get some determination about yourself and decide, I want to keep a good attitude toward God and I'm not going to let the devil steal my spirit. I'm not going to let him take me out. And folks, I watch him get taken out week after week after week after week. Somebody has to hang in there. Watch it now. Watch it. Is it taking a long time to live down that sin that you committed that hurt your reputation? Be careful. Be careful. Bitterness might creep in. Maybe your dark place is caused by somebody else. Is your dark place in life that has affected you and now we see the elements of bitterness in your life? Is it because maybe someone else? Maybe there's a wife here. You were betrayed by your husband. Left. Walked off. Left you. You got married to stay married. You got married and you plan to live happily ever after. Want to serve God and he walked off. If you're not careful, your dark place may develop into bitterness. Maybe a child. You say, my daddy forsook me. Many times young people that tend to seem rebellious are not as much rebellious as they are hurt. But young people, I'll warn you, I know many a bitter teenager. Many times the way a teenager's acting up and flaunting themselves, they're bitter. They've let the burden of life get their attitude. And even teenagers need to be careful that they do not become bitter. And so as we look at this, Hannah said, I have bitterness of soul. It was a disappointment. Naomi said, I left the will of God. I ended up bitter. James said, be careful. You may end up bitter if you're full of envy and jealousy. Job said, I got around the wrong crowd and before long it grabbed my spirit and grabbed my attitude. Bitterness, according to the book of Hebrews, may come when we are disciplined and we mishandle that discipline. Bitterness could be the result of our body and what we face. According to Isaiah and Jeremiah said, watch out if you are facing a dark part of life. You say, Brother Owens, I just couldn't even describe it all. I just feel a darkness about me. You better be careful. The whole object of the devil is not the dark place in your life. It is that when you come out of the dark place in life, he's got your spirit, he's got your attitude, and you are bitter. You say, well, what in the world is the solution? Well, the solutions are about as practical and simple as the causes. For instance, the disappointments of life could create bitterness. Make it available to us. Like Hannah, she wanted a child. She didn't get what she wanted. She let that disappointment get to her to the point that she was bitter. Folks, let me tell you something about the disappointments of life. Everybody has their fair share of disappointments in life. Just so you all know, you're disappointed this week. I'm disappointed next week. He's disappointed the week after that. Get used to it. I'm not telling you that I'm glad that any of us are disappointed, but you're going to have to face the reality of it. We live in a sin-cursed world. We're going to face disappointments. Nobody gets everything they want. Nobody gets everything they want when they want it. When you add all your positives and all your negatives together, the positives are going to come out on top. I don't care who you are. Folks, let's face it. The saved will never face the worst disappointment for a human. And that's called hell. If you don't want to get bitter, you must realize that everybody faces disappointments. Everybody faces some of the same disappointments in life. And again, it's your choice. Matter of fact, God said, let your disappointments make you better, not bitter. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? Well, we must face it that everybody faces the disappointments of life. You say, well, what else can I do to help myself? I'd stay away from negative people. Job had a problem. He was doing fine until his so-called friends came along. Stay away from the critics. Stay away from those that express their disloyalties and the gripers and the complainers and the watch out for the other bitter people. Bitterness is a contagious disease of the spirit. It's like ringworm of the attitude. Bitter people often become evil. They spread their attitude with intent to hurt. They start out hurt, end up bitter, then decide to go hurt. Happens all the time. What's the solution? How do we guard ourselves from this thing called bitterness? Well, we've got to be careful to accept the disappointments in life and realize we've got it far better than we have it worse. What do? We stay away from negative people so they won't tamper with our spirit. I'll tell you something. I would rather have no friends than wrong friends. So you all know, some of you that are the life of the party and everybody's your friend, you better be careful. There are not that many good Christians that I know. I got in this thing to stay. I don't plan to let the people in this congregation destroy my spirit. Nor do I plan to let that staff member destroy it, or 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 that staff member destroy it. I got in it for God. And I'm not going to let the human race tamper with the new spirit that God gave me. He told me it was a sin for me to get bitter. I'm not going to blame everybody else for my problem. I'll fix me up with God's help. I'm telling y'all, if you plan to serve God long term, you better get what I just said to you. People come and go, but God's always the same. And the expectation on the Christian of today is as high as it was when Jesus was on the face of this earth. Hey, stay away from negative people. I'd recommend you stay in the will of God. Naomi and her family didn't. Don't run from the hard times in God's will. Stay where God puts you. Stay on your knees. Stay in your Bible. Stay in your church. Stay on your bus route. Stay after it. Don't run. I was out at Orr's family. There's a market with, y'all know where I'm talking about. They sell fruit and vegetables, and they've got some really neat buffalo. I felt bad because they were having buffalo sandwiches there yesterday. It tastes good. But my wife and I had taken our grandchildren. We went out there and they were having harvest or a little bit of a fall festival. We were walking around. I watched this little fella about 3 years old. His dad had a hold of him. And the little fella was trying to cut loose. Dad said, "No, you stay here with me." That little boy, his feet were moving. Dad had a hold of him. Well enough, the boy was cutting a rut there in the ground. He wasn't going anywhere. But the boy wanted to go somewhere. Dad had a hold of him, and finally the boy calmed down. Dad said, "You stay right here with me. It's the safest place for you to be. Stay right here with me." Dad let go. Boy looked up. Dad turned his head away for a minute. That little tiger, he shot off. He took about 4 steps, went face first into the gravel and the pavement. He stood up. He had gravel embedded in his face, in his hands, and in his knees. My grandson was with me watching it happen. He grabbed a hold of my leg. He wasn't going anywhere. I'm going to tell you all something. There's some of you, you're going to run when you should have stayed with your Heavenly Father. You're going to fall flat on your face. And a whole bunch of us are going to watch you as the example. We're going to grab a hold of the Heavenly Father and say, "I'm hanging on right here. I'm not running like that fellow. Look what happened to him." Stay in God's will. Stay in God's will. Stay away from the wrong kind of people. Realize the disappointments of life come. They come to us all. Hey, and don't let your sick body make your spirit sick. That's what happened to Hezekiah. Some of you need to claim 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where in verse 9 and 10 it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Hey, there's some of you better realize something. Some of the weak parts of your body may be the very thing that's getting you close to God. And if God has chosen that you not be well, you better not get mad at God. You better hang on to Daddy's leg and say, "God, you get me through this thing." But don't become bitter with God because your body's not well. Claim God's strength. Decide to have a healthy attitude. Decide to let your sickness make you instead of break you. Let people see your God is bigger than your illness. Teach people how to handle a weak body while you have a strong spirit and attitude. Decide not to become bitter. In the dark times, I would recommend that you realize that God is merciful and compassionate. The Bible says this. When I was reading to you earlier that passage of Scripture by Jeremiah, where he talked about those dark times, Lamentations 3:6, he hath set me in dark places. Now let me tell you something. In the very same chapter it says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith the soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Here, the very same Jeremiah that said, I'm in a dark place. He said, I feel that bitterness coming in. If you read the story, the bitterness did not overtake Jeremiah. He comes along and he says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, have I hope. He said, I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed. He said, God's not going to fail me. God won't let me down. God is my portion. And let me tell you, if you're in a dark place, you have God. And Jeremiah said this, if I have God, that's all I need. And it's time for some of you to come to the point in life where you say, I've got God. That's all I need. I'm going to have a good attitude from here on out. I may not have the same car somebody else has, or the same house somebody else has, or the same bank account somebody else has. I have God. I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm not going to let the devil steal my attitude. I'm not going to let the devil cause me to get bitter and angry and vengeful and leave the blessing of the will of God. I've got God. If you've got God, you have everything you need. Everything you need. And so, let's not be bitter. Hear about the little boy. Went to school. Teacher said, kids, why don't you come back tomorrow? Give me a sentence with the words bitter end in a sentence. Little boy came back next day, stood up. Teacher said, what's your sentence? Little Johnny said, well, my dog was chasing my cat and bitter end. Hey, folks, I really believe this. I believe the things that come at you and I, the burdens, the heartaches, the disappointments, whatever they are, I don't think that it's all about what happened to us. With the devil, he's hoping that the occurrence steals your spirit. He's hoping that the occurrence develops into bitterness. Because bitterness is spiritual suicide. You choose it. Somebody else has been through exactly what you're going through. They came out on top with a sweet spirit. You're going down. Your choice. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, this has not been a sermon particularly to the lost, but let me tell you something. If you died today and you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven, there is a God in heaven that loves you. He sent His Son by the name of Jesus Christ to come, to be born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half sinless years. He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. And if you're not saved, you need to turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to become your Savior, forgive you of your sin. If you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. I don't say that to scare you. I say that to be honest with you. It's my job. I say to you, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you ought to come today. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. There are some of you who say, boy, I love that sermon on bitterness. If you're not saved, you're going to need help to get. If you're not saved and you're bitter, you're going to need help getting through the thing. Say, what will help me? Get saved. The God of the universe will move into you and He'll help you through the bitternesses of life. But if you're not saved, you're probably just going to stay bitter. You'll have a hard time getting over it. But God's a healer. God can help you. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, I beg of you, trust Christ as Savior today. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would be honest in church, honest to me and honest to yourself? And you'd say, Brother Owens, if I died today, I do not know. I'm not 100% sure that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. God bless you. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not saved. I don't know that I'd go to heaven if I died today. I'm just being honest in church. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? God bless you. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, that's me. I'm not saved. Those of you that just raised your hand, we're going to have a thing called an altar call in a moment. What that means is in a few seconds, we're all going to stand. The instrumentalists will begin to play. The choir will begin to sing. The men that are sitting on this platform will step off the platform and they'll post themselves down front on the lower level at the end of each aisle. They'll be there. And if you're not saved and you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand and you didn't, and you want to be saved, you'll leave your seat in a second. There'll be others coming forward. You won't be by yourself. But you come forward, walk up to one of these men, and they'll guide you right there on the spot very simply and in a way where you won't be embarrassed. They'll guide you to someone that can take a Bible and show you how to be born again. And you can leave this place on your way to heaven and on the start to helping you through the bitter things of life. Is there anybody else that would join these that have raised their hand and said, preacher, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. Maybe you're religious, but you're not saved. And I'm glad to say I've spent my life in church. I'm glad for you. But you got to get born again. You got to get saved. And you'll say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'll join these that have already raised their hand. I need to be born again. Pray for me. I see another hand. Who else? Those of you that raise your hands when we start the altar call, you just leave your seat, whether you're in the balcony or the lower floor, and you come forward. Walk up to one of the men and say, I want to be saved. We'll show you how to be saved. But wait a minute. Predominantly and primarily today, the sermon was to those of you that are born again. I don't know who I was speaking to. I hope the Holy Spirit spoke to us all. Maybe there's somebody here today that said, Brother Owens, right in that sermon today, something very big I needed for in my life. Maybe even someone that would say, I see it. I've allowed bitterness into my life. I need to get it cared for. I need to get it cared for. But who here would say, preacher, the sermon today made a deep impact on me. Made an impact on me. Got my attention. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I see hands all over the place. Hands everywhere. God bless you. You may put those hands down. If you need this altar, you come. And don't you hesitate. Some of you Christians, you need to come down here and get it cared for before it gets worse, before it gets the best of you. Get down and say, God, forgive me. I'm going to get my spirit back. I'm going to get my attitude back. I'm going to protect against it. Some of you have yourself in circumstances that will develop into bitterness unless you retract yourself and get it fixed. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. Now you come. If you're not saved, you come. Walk up to one of the men and say, I need to be born again. If you're saved and you're struggling with some issues that are creating or tempting the bitterness in your life, then you need to come and take a moment to work on it. Bitter toward a boss, or bitter toward your husband, or bitter toward your wife, or bitter toward your parents? Are you bitter toward some Christian in God's community here? Maybe you've been saved and never baptized. You got to come and get that taken care of. Maybe you're saved and baptized, but you'd like to join a church like this. You may come. My friend, a sermon of this sort will help you. It's there to help you. It's there to strengthen you. If you're not saved, you come. Walk up to a man and say, I need to be born again. If you've been saved and never baptized and you need to get it cared for today, you walk up to one of the men and tell them, they'll help you. Maybe you need to come and rededicate your life. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, I just need a makeover in my spiritual life. Say, God did something to me. Are you bitter with God? I'd get over that. Nobody has a right to be bitter with God. Nobody. I've watched sermons like this totally rearrange somebody's life. I've watched people walk in the building bitter, angry, depressed, just an emotional piece of tension, walk out with a burden off their back, with a plan on how they're going to live their life, that it is not a life full of bitterness. Don't let bitterness take advantage of you. the best of you. Let's bring them right on in, fellas. Bring them in. Bring them over here. Get a couple of the people who have been saved up here on these roads. That'll help us. Quickly, right so I can read it. Be thorough. Soul winners, take your time. Do it right. Just keep singing choir. We still have people coming.